hold down the fort while the pastor's out. Like he said, you got the B team, so I see some first-time visitors to our church here this morning. I just want you to know, it's not always like this. There's usually a lot better preacher in this pulpit than me up here today, but he's in Oklahoma spending time with his family, and so we're glad that our pastor can have the opportunity to do that, that there are people around here that can hold down the fort to give him some time to relax and be with family and things like that. Can we give our pastors a hand of appreciation this morning? Amen. Let them know that they're missed when they're not here and that they're doing a good job while they are here. Amen. But this morning I want to look in the book of Mark chapter 4. Book of Mark chapter 4. I'll give you some time to get there. I didn't give any scriptures this morning to our sound man, our slide guy. So it won't be up on the screen. But Mark chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse 24. We're going to read through verse 29. Amen. I'll give you a little bit more time. Amen. And the Bible says this, "And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear, with what ye measure, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Amen. Let's pray one more time before we go any further today. Lord Jesus, Lord, we've asked you to be in this service numerous times already, Lord, and we ask you right now that you would anoint and bless your word, Lord, that it, when it goes into our ears, Lord, it wouldn't fall on a hard heart, Lord, that's not ready to receive it. Lord, we know that your word is the only thing that can inspire change in our lives. Lord, we know that you're the only one that can change us. So, Lord, we ask right now, Holy Ghost, begin to speak to hearts and lives. Lord, we want to be like you. We don't want to walk into this place, Lord, and leave the same way that we came in. Not when there's saving power and healing power, Lord, life-changing power, Lord, that's here right now. Lord, we ask you to anoint your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you've been in LCA Chapel, you might think this sounds a little bit familiar, so you might have heard it before, so just say amen a little bit louder. Amen. But I want to bring this to you. I want to preach on Mark chapter 4, and if you tune out for the rest of the service, I just want to give you this little nugget right here, right at the beginning, just in case you don't hear anything else I say. The Lord is working on your behalf right now. The Lord is behind the scenes orchestrating things, and even if it seems like he's not busy and that things aren't happening the way that you want them to, we know that he's working all things together for the good of those that love him. And if we can have faith to be able to trust him, that his word will be enough and that his word will do what it's supposed to, amen, you'll begin to see fruit begin to spring up in your lives and begin to see that word of God take effect, amen. I want to title this message today, Your Miracle is in the Ground. Your miracle is in the ground. We read these few verses out of Mark chapter 4, but I really want to preach on the whole chapter here this morning. But there's a very familiar parable that Jesus tells right at the beginning of the chapter, and it's the parable of the sower. You see, in Jesus' earthly ministry, a lot of the parables that he told to illustrate what the kingdom of God is like, what it means to be saved, what it means to have Jesus in your life, he would use stories that involved farming, use stories that involved agriculture, because at that time, everybody understood. They didn't have labs that they could synthesize chemicals and pop out a Twinkie and give you a food item without even growing it. They knew that if you wanted to eat, you had to put a seed in the ground, and that seed had to come up in order to give you some food. And their whole societies were structured around that. And we still have some of those today. So if you're a farmer here, or if you know a little bit about farming, maybe this will resonate with you a little bit deeper than some others. Because when he's telling these stories, all of these people, they understand these principles to the fullest extent that they could understand them at that time. while he's telling them. And so he begins to tell them these stories, the parable of the sower. I know it's one that's very familiar to us. If we've grown up in church a lot, we've heard this parable time and time again. But, you know, just for the sake of illustration and for the purpose of this message, we'll go through that parable real quick, because it starts out that Jesus tells us a sower goes out to sow. He says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A sower that goes out to sow, that when he sows the seed, some of it falls on different types of ground. He said, the first ground that it falls on is the path. And when it falls on the path, it's hard and it doesn't go into the ground. And the birds of the air come in and they take up the seed that's fell on the path. He said, the second type of ground that we see there is the stony and the rocky ground. The Bible says that it doesn't have room to take root. And that as soon as the sun rises, that it scorches the seed that falls on that ground. The next type of ground that we see is the thorny ground, or the ground full of weeds. That the Bible says that the seed falls on it, it begins to take root, but while the seed is growing up, the weeds and the thorns are growing up as well, till eventually the weeds and the thorns choke out the seed that was planted. And then the last type of ground is the good ground. That's already tilled up, it's already soft, it's already ready to receive the seed. And the Bible says when the seed falls on this ground that it bears 60 and 100 fold. And like I said, he's telling this story as a parable to get us to understand, give us an illustration of what the kingdom of God is like. Because then the next thing that he does is he tells us what the parable means. There's a lot of things in Scripture, especially Old Testament prophecy or prophecy and revelation, that you got to look at, you know, what's happening at the time and who's talking here and who are they talking to and what's going on and what kingdom is this and what does the Hebrew say about this and what does the Greek say about that, and you're digging out that meaning. But Jesus makes my job easy here this morning as the preacher, and he tells us exactly what he means whenever he says that parable. He says the seed represents the word. You see that a lot in the Bible, that the seed represents the word of God, that it's powerful and it has everything inside it in order to produce what it should. Because inside that seed, you may look at it and see it and say, that's something that's so small. That's something that's so insignificant. It wouldn't even be a meal right now. But if you take that seed and you put it in the ground, that seed's going to become a tree. And then that tree is going to bear fruit, and inside that fruit is going to be another seed. And inside that seed is going to be another tree that's going to produce more fruit, that's going to produce another seed, that's going to produce another tree, that's going to produce more fruit, that's going to produce another tree, that's going to produce more fruit, that's going to produce another seed. Y'all see the cycle of what's happening here? So inside that seed, even though we may see it as something small, insignificant, and not even to be counted, when God looks at that seed, he sees the orchard that it's able to produce. And it's all inside of there. What the enemy would love to do to some of y'all this morning is take that little bit of word of God that you have in your life right now, take that little bit of faith that you have in your life right now, and say, that is so small and insignificant, you can't do anything with that. Oh, but if you could see the power that is inside that word, if you could see the power that having that mixing faith with that word could produce in your life, you don't have something just for one generation, you have something for 1,000 generations. Because let me tell you, that happens a lot in families too. I think about my family way back to my mamaw's dad and my great-granny Reba's mom, that they were the first ones in their families to ever get saved. And all of them are dead and gone today, but they have no idea of the families that their children have raised and their children have raised that are still serving the Lord. Oh, I can imagine in that moment that the enemy was probably in their ear saying, that's just something that people believe in. You don't need to mess with that right now. You don't need to bother believing that. That ain't got no power in it. That can't help you. That can't save you. Why? Because the enemy saw that if this person gets saved, it's not just going to have a one-person effect. It's going to have a generational effect. Hallelujah. And I know that the enemy's probably whispering in your ear right now that your life might not mean much, your obedience might not mean much, your faith might not mean much, your sacrifice might not mean much. Oh, but if you could see what the Lord wants to produce out of that. Hallelujah. It's something that'll last for generations and multiply and multiply and multiply. And all of that is contained in that little seed, that word of God that needs mixed with faith. That's what the Bible tells us. He says that seed is the word. And he tells us that the different types of ground are the different types of people that receive that word. The first type of ground, he says, is the path that their heart is so hard that the word of God cannot penetrate their hearts. And immediately, it says, the enemy comes in and steals that word from them. I know we've seen people like that in our lives, that they've sat in the same church service that we sat in, under the same preaching that we sat under, went to the same youth camps that we did. But when we heard the message, there was something in us that said, that's what I need in my life. But to them, it just bounced off of them and it had no effect. That people come to church today, all across America, that are hard of heart and they don't hear anything that the Word of God is presenting to them. They don't get it. Their heart is too hard. It doesn't go in. And then the next type that we see, that stony ground, the Bible says that's those people that whenever they face tribulations, they don't trust in that word, they don't believe in that word, and just a little obstacle, the sun rising up, that's what it says in the story, the sun rising up, it scorches it. Why? Because it has no root. It's not grounded. It sounds good. That sounds like something I might want to believe, but I'm not letting it take root, and I'm not letting it take place in my life. So we come to church and we hear the word of God, but it don't take us going through Taco Bell to have the person at the drive-thru get our order wrong and we blow up and we forget everything that we just heard. Or we go home and our dog's messed on the carpet and we forget everything that happened in church that morning and we have no idea, don't even remember that word and apply it to our lives. The third type of ground, that weeds, it tells us those are the people that are drawn away by the lusts and the cares and the deceitfulness of this world. That the word of God takes root in their lives. The word of God starts growing. But the only problem with this ground is though the word of God is growing, there are other things growing up alongside that word. Other sins in their lives growing up alongside that word that we're not addressing, that we're not taking care of. And the Bible says if you let that go long enough, that there's going to come a point to where two things are going to be able to survive. It's either going to be the sin and the temptations, the lusts of this world, or it's going to be the word of God. And it says when you don't get the sin and the temptations and the lusts out, it chokes out the word of God, and it's the one that has to go. I know we've seen this modeled out in our churches too, that people who have an experience with God, that can testify that they've had an encounter with him, that the further and further they go in their lives, that there are these things that they're letting grow up and letting creep up in their lives to the point where all of a sudden they have to choose between one or the other, and they go out. It's not that they didn't have an experience. It's not that they didn't believe at one time. But those things that they kept around in their lives, the word of God cannot cohabitate in their lives with those things. But then the last type of ground that we come to, the good ground, that's soft, it's ready to receive the word, that it can take root and effect. There's nothing around it that would hinder it from growing. And the Bible says that one seed produces 60 and 100-fold in that ground. What that ought to make us do is look at our lives and say, God, what kind of ground is my heart this morning? Lord, have I closed you out? Have I hardened my heart to the point where I can't even hear the word, the truth that's being presented to me? Lord, have I not had an experience? Is there no depth to me this morning to where any little trial that I encounter, all of a sudden it gets me off track and off course? Or am I somebody that I believe it? I know this is the right thing. But Lord, there's these things in my life that I just can't let go of. And if I hold on to them long enough, it's going to choke out what you're trying to do in my life. Or are we that last type that says, Lord, my heart is soft. My heart is ready to receive your word, and I want it to take effect and produce something. Because then after he tells this story and tells this parable, he then says something like this, which was the first verse that we read. Take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. Now to me, if you read that out of context, you might say, well, that seems a little backwards, Jesus. That doesn't seem like the right thing to do in that particular situation, because if they don't have nothing, Lord, you need to give them a jump start, and you need to give them, a little boost in their spiritual life to kind of get them down, and you're giving more to them. It's like, Lord, share a little bit with those that don't have anything either. But you got to read it in the whole chapter and figure out what it's trying to say, because it's talking about, in that verse 24 there, taking heed for what you hear. These verses, they're speaking about the attitude with which we receive the word of God. That when we take heed to it, and the King James right there, this is a great word, with what measure ye meet. That's King James for what you do with it. We don't say those words anymore. I haven't told anybody what measure ye meet this week. I don't know about you, but maybe you have. But that's saying what you plan on doing with it, what you do with it. If you let it be stagnant and don't do anything with it, then that little bit that you've taken is going to be stolen away. Think back to that type of ground, that hard ground, that the enemy comes in. It says it's like the fowls of the air sweeping on a path, picking up a seed. It's just laying on top. There's nothing happening to it. There's nothing being done to that word. It's not able to take any root. And so when you receive it and don't do anything with it, even the little bit that you do have is going to be taken away. You see those people, those great spiritual pillars of the faith in your mind or in your life, whatever, whoever they may be. You know, they have one thing in common. When they hear the word of God, they obey the word of God. And as they obey and as they keep hearing the word and applying it to their life, it seems that they just keep increasing more and more and more and more. But somebody else who goes to that same church that hears the same preaching, sits on the same pew, there's nothing happening in their lives. God's not blessing them spiritually. God, it doesn't seem like they're going anywhere. Why? They're not doing anything with which they've been given. You think back to the parable of the talents that Jesus told, that he gave to a master gave to his servants some one talent, some two talents, and some five talents. And he comes back at the end of the time, that money that he gave him, those talents that he gave him. It says the one with five had gotten five more, and the one with two had gotten two more. But the one who only had one, he went and hid it in the ground and said, here it is, that thing that you gave me, I'm just gonna give it back to you. I've not done anything with it. Friend, there's a principle in Scripture that when the word is stagnant, it can't produce anything. That it has to be put into action. It has to be applied, or else it's not going to go anywhere. Friend, when a river runs, it's got clean water running through it all the time. But if it ever gets blocked up and not able to run, that thing becomes a swamp. It begins to stink and spread out, and there's all kinds of things that are able to grow and fester in that environment. Why? Because it's stagnant. It's not going anywhere. It's not working. But that river over there that's got a constant, steady supply that's running through it. Friend, that's what our lives ought to look like in the Spirit. Lord, that I'll obey whenever I hear your word. Lord, that I'll keep pursuing you. I'll keep going further. Lord, I'm not just going to get to one point and stop and not do anything else, because I know that's where, when I get stagnant, Lord, and you're not able to bless that. You're not able to increase that. Because there's a principle in Scripture that we find that Jesus says, you will know them by their fruit. And I know this is a simple analogy, but you can't get an orange out of an apple tree. Fruit doesn't lie, friend. If there's a tree out here that's got bad fruit, we can know that it's a bad tree. Or it's been through some hard times that's not allowing it to be able to produce. But we go out to a tree and it's got good fruit on it, we know that's not a bad tree, that's a good tree, because it's got good fruit. Why? Because fruit does not lie. Friend, we ought to examine the fruit that's in our lives. What is my life producing? What is there in my life that I can say, Lord, I heard your word, I listened to it, I applied it, and Lord, this is what it produced in me. Lord, this is what it got out. Why? Because fruit does not lie, friend. It can't. It'll tell the truth. It'll tell what happened. If it's had a rough winter, a bad winter, if there's insects that are inside that plant, whatever it is, you know what it's going to show up in? It's going to show up in the fruit. Fruit doesn't lie. And so we understand that spiritually too, that whenever we're producing, we're going to get more and more of that word, and we're going to produce more and more. To him that's faithful in little will be also faithful in much. So that sower, when he goes back to that ground and sees, well, I threw some on the path there, but it's not growing there anymore, but I threw some over here and now it's growing in this ground. Which ground are we going to go to? The one that's not producing anything, or the one that's producing more? It's that attitude, the type. It shows the type of what it is, and then it shows the attitude that we should receive this word. And then it goes on and it says this. After all that, he's talked about the different types of ground. He's talking about the word and the seed. He's talking about the attitude that we should receive the word with. Then he tells this parable. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. What this parable is illustrating to us, friend, is how we as the people of God should use the word and trust God to be faithful to his word. It starts off in the parable. It talks about the kingdom of God. What that is, that's simply everything that Jesus purchased with his blood on the cross. That's the kingdom of God. And if you're somebody who believes in him this morning, you call yourself a Christian, you've repented of your sin, you've confessed Christ to be your Savior, you're in that kingdom. And now in this parable, we see that the kingdom is out sowing the seed. It's likening him, the kingdom of God, to a farmer throwing the seed. And we know that seed already is the word. And whenever we receive the seed, the word of God into our lives, we're brought into this kingdom. We don't just say that's enough. But now, as the kingdom of God, we go out and spread the word and show the word and demonstrate the word in our lives, everywhere that we go. So now the kingdom of God is as a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep, rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. This is how you know he's talking about me and you and not talking about Jesus. Because if he was talking about Jesus, he would have said, and he knows exactly how. Because that farmer, friend, what that farmer does is the farmer relies on God's principles in order to do his job. In order for a farmer to grow something, he has to believe in the principles that God set forth way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, that said every living thing, its seed is going to be in itself. It's going to produce of itself. So when that farmer puts a seed into the ground, he believes that when I put it in the ground, it's going to spring back up again, because that is the principles that God set forth. He may not say it in his mind. He may not say that every time he puts a kernel of corn in the ground or a green bean seed or whatever seed it may be. He may not say it, but by the act of him doing it, that's what he's admitting. Because then, what does he do? It says he goes and he lies down and sleeps. Friend, how ridiculous would it be if that farmer that after he's done planting that seed, he goes back out the next day and says, you know what? I don't think this is growing the way it should. And he goes and he uncovers the seed and digs it back up. He says, well, yeah, it's still there. Maybe it'll work. And then puts it back in the ground and covers it back over. And then he goes back to sleep and rises up again the next day. And he goes back out and says, well, there still ain't nothing growing out there. And he goes back out there and does what? Digs up the seed again. Well, it's still there. Nothing's happening to it. It covers it back over and does the same thing. Next, goes to bed, gets up next. Well, there ain't nothing growing out there. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on here. It goes and digs it back up. Yep, it's still there, but there ain't nothing happening. Friend, we understand that if this keeps happening again and again and again, nothing is going to grow. Nothing is going to grow. You got to trust God to do his part at that time. That I put the seed in the ground and now I believe God to bring the increase and to bring the fruit. Friend, that's what happens whenever we believe the word in our lives, whether we sow it into our heart and believe, Lord, I believe you're going to change me when I sow your word in my heart, or you sow it into somebody else's heart or sow it into somebody else's life and say, Lord, I believe that your word's going to do what it's supposed to in their life, or some area that you need him to work in. Maybe it's a healing or a miracle in your family or whatever it may be, that you put that seed in the ground, Lord, and say, Lord, I trust you to bring the increase. Disbelief would be like that farmer going out there and digging that seed up and saying, Lord, I don't trust you to meet this need. Friend, that's what we do whenever we say, Lord, I trust you with this, I trust you with this. And then we say, well, I don't know if you're going to be able to do it. It's like going back out in that ground and saying, Lord, I want my seed back. I don't know if this is going to work or not. You got to leave it in the ground and trust the Lord to do his part. Because what does it say that this farmer does? When he puts the seed in the ground, what does he do? He goes to bed. That's it. You got to know that after I've done everything that I know to do, that I've prayed the way I know how to pray, I believe the way I know how to believe, I've sought the Lord the way I know how to seek the Lord, and I've trusted him with this situation, now, Lord, it's in your hands. Because there's not one single farmer that's ever grown a stalk of corn. He put the seed in the ground, but he never got the corn back up. There's not one single farmer that's ever grown one green bean that he put the seed in the ground. He didn't go and get it out. No, the Lord is the one that brought it back up. Friend, and we can be able to do that and trust the Lord in our lives, that his word will not return void. That's what he said. He said that heaven and earth will pass away before my word passes away. It says in the book of Galatians that if you sow in the spirit, you will reap of the spirit. But if you sow in the flesh, you'll reap of the flesh. Friends, simply what that means for us is if we know that I've sown in the spirit, I believe God for it, I've trusted it to him, then the only thing left for us to do this morning is take a nap and keep trusting him. Hallelujah. Amen. You can come to the piano. I'm almost done. Amen. Don't let the enemy trick you into digging up your own promise. Don't let the enemy trick you into digging up your own miracle. Because friend, your miracle is in the ground. If you don't see it yet, and you don't see it in the fruit, and you know you planted it, friend, I know where it is. It's right where you left it. It's in God's hands, and he's going to take care of it for you. Amen. There's a story of a young girl that she loved flowers. She loved to pick them whenever they were ripe, whenever they were big and beautiful and fully there. But then one day she was outside and she saw just a little bulb of a flower that hadn't sprouted yet. And so she tried to get the flower out. And so she picks that bulb and tries to open it up, but it doesn't look the way she thought it would. So she goes to her father and says, "Dad, you told me that God's the one that opens the flowers." He said, "Yeah, I did. I told you that. God is the one that opens the flowers." She said, "Well, Dad, how come whenever I try to open them, they look like this, but whenever God opens them, they look beautiful?" And as the father, he's thinking about, how do I answer this? You know, she's made a mess of this flower right here. But before he can even get a thought into his mind, she says, "Oh, I know. It's because whenever I try to open them, I open them from the outside. But when God opens them, he opens them from the inside." And she just went and skipped off and went and played and left her father astonished at the theological wisdom that his little girl had just given her. Friend, the same is true for us, that if we can try to force God's hand in our life, we can try to go and get our own pleasures and our own will and our own way, but it's not going to look the same way as if God does it. Because while we're trying to open things up and force things to happen in our lives from the outside, God is doing a deeper work that we can't see on the inside. And if we can trust him with that this morning, he'll make something beautiful out of it. Amen. Can we all stand here together this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to open up these altars here in a minute, but I want you just to begin to examine your own life and say, "Lord, what are the areas that I need to trust you with? Lord, have I let your word take effect in my life? Am I even listening to it? Lord, am I not having the right attitude whenever I receive your word? Am I becoming stagnant? Lord, have I even planted anything? Is there something that I need to plant this morning in faith? And say, Lord, I trust you with this right here." Or maybe there's some of you that you have planted and you have been trusting the Lord, but the enemy's in your ear trying to deceive you and say, "God doesn't care. God doesn't want to do that." And you need faith just to simply leave the seed in the ground this morning. Amen. Whatever it may be, wherever you're at, if you've never trusted him before, or if you've been trusting him for 30 years, it's time to trust him again. Amen. Can we all come and find us a place to pray this morning? Hallelujah.